Hi, welcome back to Dress Up Disasters. I'm Allie Cass Cosplay, and I'm here with...
Circuit.
And today we have a guest, our first guest, Cole's Cosplay. And today we're going to be talking about cosplay and gender. And Cole, would you like to introduce yourself?
Thank you for having me on your guys' podcast. This is so exciting.
Of course.
So I have been cosplaying... I think for around 4 years. I like to say I'm a COVID cosplayer because that's when I started.
A little COVID baby.
I'm a COVID cosplayer compared to these two.
Hey, 4 years of cosplay, you're not a baby cosplayer anymore.
Compared to you guys who have like 10+ years.
You're like a teen.
Oh my god, teens.
You're an angsty teenager now.
Yeah, you're an angsty teenage cosplayer.
My angsty teen years, okay?
That's so fair.
I saw you at that Avril Lavigne concert a few months back, I know.
I wish I was there. I'm not gonna get into that, but...
Anyway, so
what kind of things have you been working on lately?
Because my con season has ended, but yes, also slightly going to start again soon, and so it's been like a lot of figuring out what I'm doing for other conventions and stuff. Right now, one of my big things I'm working on is I'm doing a tech wear Sakura from Naruto for Katsu for like an evening look.
It's gonna be so fun.
I'm really excited about that. And I have, I got like glow in the dark pins that I got at like AR. And they're so cool. And I'm so excited for them.
That's gonna be so neat.
I'm excited
to see that. What conventions do you have coming up?
I'm doing Katsu.
Where can people find you?
You'll see me at KatsuCon if you're there. And then
very
I'm
nice.
Going to be at Vancouver Fan Expo for 1 or 2 days. And then SakuraCon for like 1 day probably. And then like just a bunch of like 1 day cons in like Vancouver area. I don't have a very like large con list now because I'm trying to save money.
That's so valid.
That's so fair.
Yeah, if it's not local, I'm kind of like, I don't have the time for this right now. Where can people find you online?
I'm on TikTok and Instagram under Cole's underscore cosplay.
Very nice. All right, so with that, we can get into the meat and the bones of this podcast.
The hearty
episode.
Meal.
The hearty meal.
The chunky stew.
Gender and cosplay, because those kind of
end up hand in hand.
They end up going hand in hand. Yeah,
a lot than what people think.
Yeah. So I have a couple topical discussions, and one that's kind of near and dear to my heart would be gender dysphoria.
We love it.
yay! Or, like, I suppose maybe, like, gender expression in cosplay and how it's a safe way to kind of, like, discover things about yourself.
Very much so, yeah.
Because definitely, definitely before cosplay, I was a hardcore she-her girly, and I have since completely dropped the she and the her.
I went from she-her to she-they to I don't freaking know.
That's so valid. Yeah, I had...
A pipeline.
It is, because that's kind of how it went for me. I had she-her. And then I was like, ooh, maybe she, they. And then I was like, she, he, they. And then I switched she to the end, and it was like they, he, she. And then it was they, he, and now it's he,
just
they.
All of them.
I said here was she, her in the bio.
Did Didn't you have Shilei in the bio?
Shilei in the bio.
Yeah.
I misspoke.
I make sure of people's their pronouns in their bios, because I'm always putting that in my YouTube videos.
Yeah.
I have to make sure.
You get my pronouns right, but not my username.
I'm so sorry. Every single time. What would you rather? Wrong or your tie or handle wrong?
Hey, people wouldn't look up my pronouns to find me.
Why do you have to complicate it?
Well, I also put a link to your account.
It's not complicated.
I'm just stupid.
Although the amount of people who call me Cricket.
Cricket?
I call Cricket a lot.
Cricket.
That kind of makes sense. As a dyslexic, I can tell you at least once I've looked at it and gone, Cricket Circuit.
I still find it hilarious that I misspelt my cosplay handle on my business cards. Yeah, Jules Cosplay. Because I forgot the B in cosplay.
Honestly, just change your YouTube to that.
If I could capitalize the S. But you can't on your handles.
Mm, yeah.
Which is stupid. But
that's,
I feel
so
like
sad.
Mine's an easy enough hand.
Yeah, because if I could capitalize mine,
yeah.
I'd capitalize the C and the A in Alicast.
Luckily, mine's like close enough that if you just type in like the first half, my name usually pops up. So I'm just like,
yeah.
It's fine. It's fine.
Close enough. But I think with, like, gender expression and cosplay, the fun thing about it is it's, like, a safe way to kind of explore gender and things like that. Because it was definitely the safest way for me, because I grew up, like, you know, heavily Christian and stuff like that. So there was no way I could just show up dressed as a boy. My parents would be like, hey, what's this? But if I was dressed as Castiel with a really bad fake beard, then, like, you know, my parents would be like, that's a choice.
It's a canon event.
Go off, bestie. It's truly
a canon event.
Cosplaying Castiel was a canon event.
But no, like, I definitely agree with that.
Dude, I wore that shit to my middle school.
Oh. I wore that shit to the Walmart in which I worked in the McDonald's of.
Look, Walmart trips in any cosplay is an experience.
It's a canon event. Oh, truly.
That's on the way to AR.
And I ran into the lady who owns the fabric store I always go to. That was great. But then I was able to be like, hey, look at all these fabrics that I bought at your store that's, like, now these costumes.
What is up with you?
And I'm there like, not now, we're in a crisis. Oh, what a stressful morning that was.
That was such a stressful morning. And I try not to think about it too often.
The twins better appreciate what I do for them.
I'm sure they do.
I said that with all the love of my heart. Anyway, playing with gender in costume.
The amount of rabbit trails we've taken.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
There's going to be so many in this episode.
Yeah.
I just know it.
It gets multiplied with each new member that gets added into the podcast, because we already have enough problems with each other. We add another person. There's three different rabbit trails we can take at any one point in time.
We're not going to have trouble hitting time today.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, getting back on a topic. I'm going to beep.
I'm just here to keep people on topic.
That's fair. It was like, because I started out with, like, expressing gender in cosplay, I would, like, gender bend all of the male characters I cosplayed, and then I did that for the first, like, year and a half, and then Castiel came along, and I was like, well, I want to try doing a fake beard, and if people really want to find it, it's like at the very bottom of my Instagram, and if you scroll that far, you deserve to see it at this point.
The real question is, when you did your first fake beard, did you go with the black eyeshadow or did you go with the brow pencil?
I went with, because I had seen a tutorial for this on like Pinterest or something, I went with gray eyeshadow as a shadow. And then I took a little bit of hairspray to coat the, like, fine baby hairs on my face. And then I took mascara to cover the baby hairs on my face. It looked bad. It looked real bad.
I remember being a child looking at cosplay tutorials when I first got started, and I was like, I want to try that. That looks good.
The amount of tried.
I would love to tell you that I was a child, but I was a full-blown tax-paying adult when I did that.
I was 14.
I was like 20, 19, 20. That's what happens when you get into, you don't start cosplaying until you're like 19 because your parents said, no, that's weird pink shit. And I was like, no, people take their kids to these events. And my dad, whose only con experience had been a Star Trek convention in the 1980s, was like, no, it's weird and it's kinky. And I was like, no, it's fine. So I had to wait till I had adult money.
Anyways, again, gender and cosplay.
Gender and cosplay!
My first big gender moment in cosplay was actually when I got my first binder.
That was a huge
binder
moment.
On and just suddenly not having boobs. Like, no tits. There's nothing there. I mean, I don't have a lot there anyway, but.
Yeah.
Extra nothing with the binder.
I feel that.
And then there was a moment I was just like, well, I kind of like how this looks. Like, you wear it with, like, a certain, like, shirt or something. I'm like, why does this look better without boobs?
Yep.
That was...
Yep. I had that experience with my Edward Elric cosplay in 2019. Yeah. First time I bought a binder. Put that on and was like, oh, no. Oh, I'm not thinking about this for a couple years.
Is when I started getting into cosplaying Todoroki for My Hero, and I was just like, I was wearing like a sports bra to try and like make them like not as like showing, and it just wasn't working, and I didn't like how I looked, and then like I got like a binder because I found out what a binder was because I didn't know, and then same thing. Yeah. I was like, I put it on and I was like, oh, this is new.
Yep. It's that, it's that weird moment where you look in the mirror and you stand sideways and you're like, oh, I like this. And you know it's all over when for the first you go outside in public, not in cosplay, wearing the binder, and you know that it's the end. that was an experience.
And then there's me who's never owned a binder in their life because they haven't needed one.
I have too much to adequately tape bind down.
I also
have to have
taping.
Like a binder.
I've tried it. Like I've tried like open binding before. Yeah. And like I don't like it. It feels weird and I feel more constricted than I do if I'm just like wearing like a binder. For myself personally at least.
Yeah.
That's why if you're gonna bind, look into the different ways on how to do it and do it safely.
Oh, yes.
If I see anyone try and bind with fucking ace bandages and duct tape.
Since we're talking about general, have a little detour into safe binding, okay? You need to look up reputable brands. You need to not wear the binder for more than 8 hours. Binders that have... it's like if your chest starts hurting, if your rib cage starts hurting, take that shit off. Please, 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 I'm begging you.
Oh, don't god, sleep in it either.
Oh my god, do not sleep in your binder. Oh yeah. Try not to wear it for more than 8 hours. That's like the max you should be doing. Don't do any strenuous exercise while in your binder. It's one thing if you're running across the con floor or, like, doing a photo shoot and you happen to climb a tree or something in a binder, that's one thing, but don't do, like, a heavy exercise. Don't go to work.
Don't go to the gym.
Don't go to the gym, you know, in your binder. Look up, get a binder that's sized correctly to you. Like, you might want to go for that smaller, tighter binder so that way you get a flatter look if you have a bit more going on in your chest region. But don't do that because it will actually cut off your breathing. There have been people who bruised their lungs. It can cause you to, like, if you're breathing more often, your heartbeat is going to start having to work overtime. You can severely injure yourself. Like, please, please be safe.
Yeah. Wearing binders. Injuring their ribs.
Yeah. I've heard of... I think there was one time I heard somebody cracked a rib because their binder was too tight.
I know, like, at cons, like, you're usually in your cosplay for more than 8 hours. But, like, if you hit that 8-hour mark and you still want to be in cosplay, just, like, take it off when you go get, like, dinner or something. Like, even if you just take, like, an hour break of not wearing it, that's fine. That's good.
Exactly.
And then, like,
yeah.
you can put it back on afterwards and then continue on with your evening. But, like, give yourself, give
your lungs
a break.
Yeah. That's
And when you put your binder on, your nips should not be facing the floor.
No, you need to reach in, pick up your boobs, and make sure your nips are facing outwards. Because if they're facing down, you can injure and tear the breast tissue.
And it also looks more like pecs that way.
Yes, it does. It does. It shapes better. I like to pick upwards and towards my armpit. It'll give you the most pec-looking chest. Although, by the end of the day, they've migrated into a uniboob in the center anyways, but, you know, you can try to negate that with the occasional hoist.
The sweat you guys will get in your binders.
Oh, wearing a binder in the summer is an experience. Because you just constantly feel this little river between your chest.
Female characters for AR.
And I did all men.
I was like, I don't want to put more extra clothes on than I already have to.
And if you are taping your titties, like doing open chest binding, or maybe you just prefer taping down.
Cover your nipples.
Cover your nips. And also, take it slow. Mm-hmm. I like to take my tape off in the shower. Because a lot of tapes, a lot of like kin tapes that you use, the adhesive gets stronger the warmer it gets. So the tape towards your armpit area is going to be very secure. And I have ripped off layers of skin.
You can also, with removing the tape, you can pour, olive oil or, vegetable oil, because it'll, disrupt the, adhesion.
I like using super salt adhesive remover.
Yeah, honestly, though, having a shower, the steam also really helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it opens up the skin to help release the glue. Don't just rip it off dry. Please.
Oh, I do it more than I probably should.
Yeah.
But I've also been trained in how to remove things that stick to your skin.
Again, I don't really use it that often because, like, I tend to just put the binder on instead myself. It's very rarely I will use, like, body tape. Unless it's, like, to keep my knee-high socks up.
Yeah, I end up using it more to, like, keep knee-high socks up, or if I'm wearing something that has a bit of a plunging neckline and I want the giddies for
most
of the present.
Well, a lot of adhesives like that also contain latex, too, so if you have latex allergy, that's something to consider.
I have found ones that are, like, more like the toupee tape that I found a particular brand that didn't have latex in it, and that's because I am allergic to latex.
Yeah, the amount of tape and pins are put in the costume for when I did one of the wives from Demon Slayer. I was sewn to a bra at one point, I swear. To keep everything in place.
Yeah. Well, it's like the last time I wore Levi Ackerman to a con, the ODM gear harness I had been sitting in storage for about 8 years and was disintegrating as I was wearing it. So we went over to the booth that my dad was helping out at, and we stole a roll of their duct tape and taped me into it.
I mean, with all those mouthfuls and belts those cosplay have, you're already kind of taped into it in a sense.
You're not getting into that.
Oh, yeah.
Bathroom breaks? We don't know her.
I don't know how much
Please don't
Titan
actually go to the bathroom.
Do I do not know how you guys do it. I've never cosplayed from Attack on Titan.
I've seen a lot of people make their own ODM gear harnesses out of elastic and they'll sew them directly to the pants. So it's just a top, like a vest thing that they pull off.
When I had my ODM gear, I made it to where I would just have to take off the jacket and then it just slipped off of my the top ODM gear held together and I just slipped it off and then I just took my pants off because it was attached all the way through the belt loops of my pants. So the pants stayed permanently attached to my ODM gear. And so I could actually pee, because that's a very important thing to me.
Yeah, my ODM gear harness, it was all connected to the belt. So as long as you didn't take the belt off your pants, you were fine.
What is your guys' most difficult cosplay to go to the washroom in?
A little bit Tartaglia, simply because the belt isn't attached to the pants, so and because he's got the thigh garter, I have to like get half naked to get like his is kind of difficult because of just like all of his weird belt and thigh garter and things, and it's all connected. And so I'm like trying not to have it just drape all over the floor and get wet. A lot of my, like, heaven officials or, the demon cultivator cosplays that I have, like, my Danmei cosplays, just because there's so many layers.
Yeah, electronics are pretty difficult, too.
Yeah, you're trying to, like, not get any of the long, drapey sleeves, the long, drapey robes.
All the fabric in those are very light, so it's also hard to tell if maybe a piece of fabric wipes to the toilet.
Yep.
Is that...
Well, Chester. Yeah. Chester, because I have a tail, I have three different skirts, I have long sleeves, I literally have to tie the sleeves around my throat or around my neck so I'm not dripping them into the toilet.
Yeah, same problems with Molly. I have to take the coat off and hand it to a friend.
Yep.
And then I have to worry about being able to pull the leather pants back up my sweaty ass legs. socks.
Yeah.
And the tail. Which are sewn to the pants.
Yeah.
While also not hitting the horns on the bathroom stall.
Yeah, because with Jester, I've got the horns, I've got the tail, I've got, the gloves, I've got the three different skirts, and then there's tights underneath of all of that. Yeah. What about you? I love how this is completely derailed. It's fine.
I think mine is weirdly Azula. From Avatar.
That makes
sense. I had the shoulder pads that knock into the stalls. Ooh. And then it's the bottoms are separate, but then I have the weird dress thing and the belts on top of it, so it's kind of like a maneuvering them all in my hands up here and plop down.
Yep. I don't really cosplay her anymore, but one of the most awkward and uncomfortable cosplays to use the bathroom in was Black Widow, because I had to get completely naked to be. It's a bodysuit with a belt and gloves, so I'd have to take my gloves off, I'd have to take the belts off, and then I unzip the bodysuit, and the only thing that's going on under there when I'm going to the bathroom is just my bra, and I'm sitting there if somebody opens this door, they ever see everything.
Gender.
So we've talked a bit about
gender.
Gender dysphoria was mentioned a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
What you guys describe that as, and what have been your biggest moments experiencing?
So you go,
because that's not really something that I
you
deal
were
with,
there
so.
When I experienced it for the first time.
Yeah.
Which was we were at Kubo.
Yeah.
And I was cosplaying Jinx at the time from Arcane, and Jinx was always a cosplay I was very, very comfortable in. I have no issues with it at all before, and then there was something about the day, it was just I felt so uncomfortable in everything, and I felt everyone's eyes were on me in a bad way. And, I felt very exposed, and I felt very uncomfortable, and I was I did not want to be in the body that I had. And we had to get to Allie Cass's, panel, because they were doing a panel, and, I was sitting there, and I was just I'm so uncomfortable right now. And, I think it broke down in, the hotel after that.
Yeah, because I went back with you because I was going to change or something. Or you were going to change, and I went back to see because I need to change my... Oh, I need to put stuff back from my panel.
The problem was, I only had one male cosplay at the time with me at that con, and I couldn't get change into that because you were borrowing my binder because you had forgotten yours.
Yeah. I forgot to find her.
And so, like, I only had female cosplays, and I didn't want to be a female, and it was a whole thing, so I ended up putting on, like, a comfort cosplay, which was Sakura, and I was, like, okay in it, but, like, I also was not 100% comfortable, and mm-hmm. I have not been able to cosplay Jinx since then, and that's my first moment of being, like,
yeah.
What are my pronouns? What do I want to go by? What is happening to me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I first started experiencing, like, gender dysphoria in about 2020. And I remember one of... Because, like, I remember getting dressed for a date. It wasn't even, like... for cosplay. I've been cosplaying a lot of guys at that point, and then the only time I was really existing was, like, I'd go to work, and then I'd come home, and then I'd get into cosplay, and I'd go live, or I'd make TikToks or whatever, because that was what we were doing during the pandemic. And so I was existing almost entirely as a guy. I was doing a lot of Bungo Stray Dog, or not Bungo Stray Dogs, I was doing a lot of BNHA. So it was a lot of Bakugo, and it was a lot of Todoroki, and it was a lot of Denki. So I got very used to only seeing myself as a guy. And so I was, like, getting ready. It had been, like, 3 or 4 months of me just almost exclusively cosplaying guys. I'd occasionally cosplay a girl here and there, but I really wasn't. And so I got ready for a date, and I was wearing a skirt and, like, this frilly little top. And I remember looking in the mirror, and I felt, like, disgusted. Like, I was looking, like, I wasn't looking at myself. Like, I was, it felt so wrong in, like, this visceral way that I literally just started crying, and I had to, like, get out of the clothing as fast as possible, and I had to wear the most masculine outfit mm-hmm. I could possibly put together, because I was like, if I have to look at myself any longer as a woman, I'm just gonna break down and be inconsolable. And, it wasn't until a little while later, like, and then I realized I was, like, cosplaying guys, and I was just fine, and then there was a couple times where I cosplayed girls, and, because I was doing, Uraraka, and I remember going, I cannot cosplay, I cannot see myself cosplaying as girls, and so I went back to almost exclusively cosplaying guys for quite some time. I got into Bungo Stray Dogs, only cosplayed guys. I got into Haikyuu, only cosplayed guys. Like, for most of the rest of 2020 and almost all of 2021, I think I maybe cosplayed a girl, like, once or twice. Like, I just couldn't do it, and it actually took me a long time to get comfortable again cosplaying girls. Like, it took me, like, years.
And then Genshin came out.
Yeah, Genshin kind of, like, fixed that real fast, because, like, the first Genshin cosplay I did was Ganyu, and she's wearing essentially a tiny little dress and just tight, and her whole back is out, and I was like, if I don't cosplay her, I'm going to die. And and then I saw Tengling, and I was also like, she's so cute, if I don't cosplay her, I'm gonna die. And then I saw the Raiden Shogun, and I was like, I need to be her. And so that actually, like, that, like, helped a lot. And so now I cosplay, like, boys or girls, it's fine. But yeah, it was just this intense feeling of wrongness in my own body, and just, like, feeling so disgusted. Like, it was just this horrible feeling that I would not wish on anybody. And it was, like, it was so scary the first time it happened. I was like, what is going on?
Like, I was still freaking out after that con, too, because I was just like, what is this? Was this, like, a freak moment where I was just uncomfortable for whatever reason? Or, like, what? And then, like, I talked to a bunch of, like, friends and stuff, and they're like, I just think you, like, need to figure out your pronouns and, like, what you want to go by and, like, stuff. And I'm just like,
I didn't need a gender crisis.
I just want my age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when I was, like, 24 when I had my gender crisis, and I was like, am I too old to be having a gender crisis right now?
Meanwhile,
and I was like, I can't exactly, like, you know, change who I am at work. What is this? Yeah. my coworkers really noticed something was up when I started wearing it almost exclusively pants to work, and I think there was a couple times I actually wore my binder to work. And some of my coworkers were like, that's an interesting look. And I'm like, don't ask questions.
Yeah, I dress very mask for my work, too, actually. Like, I wear, like, baggy pants and, like, sweatshirts and shit. And my work don't question it because I kind of always go to work like that. But in my mind, I'm just like, this is comfortable. Yeah. That's why I'm doing this.
I look as shapeless as possible. Perfect.
Yeah. I also dress very masculine at work, but they don't really make feminine high-vis.
Yeah. There's no way to make high-vis cute.
I mean, I'm sure people can find it. It's just...
I'm sure there's not a TikTok for that.
In accordance with WorkSafe.
Yeah, WorkSafe will come on and be like, no, you cannot wear assless high-vis chaps.
They would have something to say.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, with the whole my work pants, so this will be assless. I do wear regular pants under my high vis. They're just there for the high vis.
They're not there for actual coverage of your most sensitive parts.
No. So, could you imagine?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about gender dysphoria.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that's, like, the opposite of that? Like, something that makes you...
Gender euphoria?
Yeah, something that feels you cemented in your identity?
Some of the cosplays that I wear where I'm like, oh, yes, this is peak gender. I am actually... The hottest man ever is when I cosplay Link. I can literally never have a bad day when I'm cosplaying Link. Child is another one of those cosplays where I put that cosplay on and I'm like, I am actually the hottest I've ever been. Thank you, everyone. You need to look because ain't no way this would be like. And Albedo is another one where I'm like, ah, yes. I'm very handsome today.
For me, it's similar. Mm-hmm. It's like certain male cosplays that I have where I'm just like, I am a god.
Yeah, it's me. I'm the man. I'm the boy.
Is the Joker from Persona? Whenever I have Joker on, I'm just like, am I a fuckboy? Maybe.
Yes. That's me as a child, honestly, as Tartaglia. I'm like, I am the fuckboy. I will steal your girlfriend and your boyfriend.
Also, Bondi from Tokyo Revengers. I haven't cosplayed him in like a hot minute. Oh, yes. But like when I do cosplay him, I'm just like, I am the prettiest boy in existence. And no one could tell me otherwise.
Yeah, I cosplay a lot of the pretty boys. I find when it's the very high masculine looking men, I realize that my face doesn't match that, and so I end up not liking it. But like the pretty boys, I'm like, oh yes,
yeah,
I can do that.
You're coming home with me.
Really? Okay, I also have that same thing with certain female cosplays that I do, like Tamari.
Oh yes, definitely.
From Naruto. Whenever I'm in Tamari, I'm just like, I'm so pretty.
Yes. I get that way when I cosplay oh my gosh, what's her name? From Chainsaw Man.
Makima.
Pink hair.
Makima?
Oh yes. I cosplay Makima and I'm like, oh yes. And
a woman that could kill me.
Exactly. When I'm cosplaying a woman that could kill me
and
gladly, easily, I'm like, yes, this is wonderful. Like, the Raiden Shogun. She's another one where I'm like, oh. And then, Jester.
You were
so cute. She's just
so cute,
and I feel endlessly cute. I felt so freaking cute, dude. I was like, no one can tell me anything. I'm the cutest.
I also, like, weirdly like it when I'm doing female characters, but when I am, like, covered in fake blood. I don't know what it is with
that's so fair
fake blood, but it makes it like so much hotter. Like I did power and I covered myself in fake blood and I was just like, I have never been sexier in my life. I look like I just murdered somebody, but I'm here for
it. Yeah, there's just something about cosplaying like a murderous person. About you, what are some cosplays that give you like, this is it, I have never been, like, what gives you that like euphoria moment?
Oh, Zelda.
Yes. Oh yes. Yeah. I knew that was coming.
Anyone who knows me knows it's Zelda.
Yep.
Molly Mock on a good day.
Yeah.
Just because it's such a labor-intensive costume to wear, by the time you're done putting it on, you're like, I'm tired being in this. But, like, on a day where, like, the body paint is sitting nicely and stuff, I'm like, I could wear this all day.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I have, like, a handler to help me, because that is not a costume I can move very easily in.
No.
Because I have no peripheral vision in that costume at all.
Yes.
At all.
That's how I felt in Jester. Like, I have to turn all the way around to see something because I got horns and I got the wig and everything, so it's like, I'm turning all the way around.
That scene in Avengers where Tony is Edward Nick Fury's computer and stuff are, he's like, how does he see all these? And he's like, he turns around.
just a shout out to all the, like, friends to cosplayers who become our handlers when we have these difficult cosplays on. You are freaking godsends and we love you.
You're the real MVPs out there. The cosplay handlers, you are the gods amongst men.
Yeah.
Like,
that's going to be Remnant Entropy at SoccerCon for us.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be.
I'm buying them dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's going to be a chore.
Accidentally became my handler a little bit at AR when I was Chamari.
That's so fair.
I have the giant fan, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I accidentally hit so many people with this fan on accident.
Oh, no.
It's so long. This fan is like the size of me. It's huge.
I love it. I love it. Guys, listen, listeners, you need to go and see their Instagram because that fan is so cool. The costume is also very cool, but, like, it's very epic.
It, like, drops.
Well, it's like you'll be standing there, and then nobody will be really interested. You open that fan, and 17 people have their phones out.
I ran into, like, some of my non-cosplayer friends who knew about this fan, and they're like, oh, like, I want to see it. I'm like, yeah, for sure. So I open it, and it makes that glorious sound, and then suddenly it's like, I love it, but it's kind of, like, very overwhelming.
It
can be.
I find,
but it's also, like, very nice stroke of the ego back there as well.
But when it's constant, I'm just like, okay, leave me alone.
Yeah.
What are you handlers for?
Yeah. No, I've definitely had a couple of cosplays where I got stomped so often that it got to a point where I was like, I'm gonna tell you no, because I need a second. Like, I cannot function like this.
Yeah, well, that was like with the Mario bunnies.
We got stomped a lot with them.
We were real popular.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're like, we're trying to go anywhere and half the group is getting stopped for photos. And you're like, oh god. Yeah, I want to do another group like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely bringing a bunny suit for sock. But, like, it's Easter weekend, so you kind of have to.
I need a new bunny suit because, like, my zipper was totally, like, messed up on mine. Because, like, I tried wearing it at Katsu last year. Remember, you were trying to help me pull it up, and then it was just, like, the zipper is just destroyed on it. And, like, I need to get a new one.
Yeah, I'd zip it up, and then it's opening up the back, and I was like,
not a way to just replace the zipper
also,
on it.
I could, like...
The suit itself wasn't also very stretchy.
Like,
it was like
I bought it very quickly because I was in that Mario group that you set up, and like I just needed a white one. I needed a cheap one, and like it didn't fit me. Like it fit me fine, but like I wished it was like a little bigger on me, I think. And like it wasn't quite the right orange I wanted because I was Daisy. So like I want to just get like a new one, just like wear it for like any costume.
Yeah. I need to get a new one because I bought a really small one years ago when I was peak, just came out of COVID lockdown depression skinny, and I am not that thin anymore, and it was already small on me when I first bought it, so I can, like, zip it up, and I can wear it if I'm, like, sucked in all the way, but it's the type of bunny suit that has zero ass coverage, and it is just my entire ass out, and I'm like, all right, because I have the pink one, which does cover, like, most of my ass, but the black one, it's your entire ass out, and I'm like, I cannot do this. I need some ass coverage.
Yeah, because I think the plan is Muppet Show this year.
That'll be glorious. Like I said, I'm probably gonna come down for the Saturday, because you guys are doing the comp, right? Or trying to? And that's Saturday, right? Hope.
Yeah.
Whether or not I'll be able to afford all the rhinestones before soccer
comes.
And
it's on a Saturday, their competition, right? Yeah, so I'll probably come here Saturday, because, like, I want to come see you guys, your comp and stuff, so. I'll come down for Saturday, and I'll be like, hey, guys.
You're going to see our awesome, super expensive, fancy costumes that I'm going to cry
cosplay,
over when it's done.
But I will be there probably Saturday. I might end up coming for the weekend. If I drop down to only doing one day at Fan Expo, I could probably pull off doing Sakura.
Honestly, Fan Expo's only worth
it one day. It was more because I was in groups. One of the groups we want to do is, like, it's a really expensive cosplay, and, like, I kind of don't want to bother, so I probably will drop it, and I just do the one day, which, like, is Friday, which is annoying, because then I have to take a day off work.
Yeah, because it's not on the holiday anymore.
Yeah.
But whatever. I'll take a long weekend. So maybe I'll come up for sock, but sock's really expensive. Mm-hmm. Like, the tickets are so expensive.
I was talking with somebody, and last year they did just a regular panel, and they got panelist badges.
Who was that?
That was Crimson Corgi. And
what's one to look into?
Yeah, so if we do panels, I think we may be able to get panelist badges, and that would make the con a lot cheaper.
I really need to start doing panels.
Oh, look at that.
Right? Like, it makes the con so much worth it.
They are. I don't know what I would do. Like, I don't know what I would do, because, like, you guys have, like, the sewing ones you can do, because, like, I'm not a sewer. Like, I'm slowly learning, obviously, but, like, I'm not anywhere skilled enough that I can, like, do a panel on it. So, like...
Well, you could always, like, join in on a panel that I'm doing, or something. Because I do, like, my patterning panel sometimes. I do, like, sewing panels, and, like,
you can bring on another person for cosplay first, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I would love that.
And we could do, like, a live episode with you.
Oh, yeah. That's popular.
Back.
Yeah, brought back
to popular demand.
I mean, we're going to run the stories eventually, so.
Yeah.
And you can also, like,
run
a game.
I thought about doing, like, if I did an informational
really
one, I thought about doing, like, cosplay for beginners. Like, things like I wish I knew when I first started.
Yeah.
You could also do one on cosplay and gender.
Yeah.
Just like this. Yeah.
Another fun one is you could do something similar to what Sky and I did with,
The smut roast.
It was fantastic. Yeah. I want to bring it back to other cons.
Are you not bringing it to Kumo this year?
Yeah. Or
No, we're doing a game show instead.
Fan fiction game show.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
We have 3D printed little prizes.
That's cool.
So, it's going to be... Yeah.
We have barely talked about the actual topic of this.
Gender.
Yeah, gender.
So, how do I tell if I'm experiencing gender dysphoria or just regular dysmorphia?
Well, you have probably, since you don't, wow, words.
You still been podcasting?
I'm so good at this. Since you don't usually experience gender dysphoria and more of the dysmorphia side of things, why don't you give us your little, what does that feel like?
So, for me, I know that it's not gender dysphoria and it's dysmorphia because I know it's the problems I have with how I look in certain cosplays comes from specifically as to how I look as a person and not because it's my gender. So it's not because, like, oh, I have boobs where boobs shouldn't be. It's like, it's more, oh, I'm a fucking cylinder. Where's my waist? Or stuff like that. Like, just standard physical insecurity stuff more than, oh, I am in the wrong body. Get me the fuck out of here.
I get that a lot with my knees. Because
my knees are weird.
Yeah, I walk funny, I realize, and so when I stand still for photos and stuff, my legs look really funky unless I remember to not basically crack my knees out, because I end up looking like a little bow-legged, and it looks real dumb.
And I have knocked knees, so I'm bow-legged in the opposite direction. Yeah. So my knees tend to bend inwards towards each other.
So you constantly look like you're doing the anime shy?
I always look like I'm doing
for
the anime shy. Which I'm really excited to start
For me, it's my chin. Like, I've talked about this before with you guys. Like, I have a very round face.
That's one for me, too.
So, like, I don't really have, like, a chin, a defining chin. And so, like, I get, like, double chin, and I freaking hate it so much. So, like, whenever I do photo shoots, I always tell my photographers, I'm like, if you see this, tell me to raise my head.
Yeah.
Please.
No, I feel that because that's why I almost always am like, can we do a three-quarter shot instead of front-on? Because front-on, my face kind of looks a little too flat because my face is tiny and the rest of my forehead and the rest of my face is quite... It makes the rest of, like, my face is squished into the center. And so I'm like, can we do a three-quarter shot where you can see my cheekbones or, like, I can show off my kind of their jawline?
I always love a good chin up, eyeballs down shot.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite because I also have a lot of insecurity about, like, my neck and my chin. Because I also have a very round
chin. I've trained myself now when I do photos that I kind of, like, lift my head up higher than, like, I used to, because I do know that there, but, like, sometimes I forget, especially if I'm supposed to do, like, some weird-ass JoJo pose or something.
Yeah. My go-tos is always roll my shoulder back, put my chin up, and, like, kind of angle your hips more forward instead of arching your back too much, because then it kind of negates your waist. Do I remember to do that all the time?
Never.
No. I do get back shrimp photos where I'm just hunched over like a shrimp. And I'm like, what is this? Why didn't you tell me I look like a shrimp? Tell me to roll my shoulders back. Put my chest out. I don't like this. The photo looks great. I look ridiculous.
Photographers that pose you.
Oh, I love photographers that pose me.
Yeah.
I'd sell my left kidney for a photographer that'll pose me.
Literally. Because, like, I don't know what I look like. I could be... And, like, every time they, like, they don't pose me or they'll take a photo of my legs or something, I'm always doing something really ridiculous. Or I'll remember to pose my body and there's no expression on my face. I look like I've checked out the building, lights are on, no one's home, and I'm like, please tell me when I look like I've taken every single drug on the planet. Please! I can pose my face, just tell me!
It's also nice to have, like, a friend come to a photo shoot with you, because, like, they can help you. They can help pose you, which is what I tend to do.
Or pose the clothing, or pose your wig, or things like that.
Especially because there's a big difference between posing for feminine characters and posing for masculine characters.
Yeah.
And those aren't always inherently known things.
Yeah, especially if you're not used to, you know, like, cosplaying a guy or, like, having to act like a guy or act like a girl if you, like, you know, the other way. Because, like, I have friends that, you know, born with the he, him, and do not use the he, him anymore. And I've had friends be like, How pose girl? How be girl? I'm girl inside, but how be girl? And I'm like, it's okay. Like, so yeah, like with girl poses, you're a little more
demure,
you know. You're a little more graceful, a little more poised, whereas with guy it's more boxy, it's more power posing, it's yeah, more
it's
do you want to see my crotch?
It's almost
I
more standoffish.
Yeah. It depends
for
on
not
the
all
character.
Not all
characters,
like,
yeah. When I'm doing power, for example, I'm not doing dainty poses as power. I'm being a feral animal.
No.
When I'm power.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm doing, like,
yeah,
Joker... Even Joker, I find he's a bit more of, like, a femboy. Mm-hmm. So I don't do, like, crazy masculine.
He's
yeah,
a pretty little baby girl.
So, look, I don't do crazy mask poses for
girl.
Him either. I don't really do mask poses for anyone. They're all a little femme.
Yeah, because even for Link, sometimes, depending on the
yeah.
situation, I bring out the baby girl a little bit
more. It also depends
more.
If I'm cosplaying and doing
That's
poses with someone. Because, like, if I'm doing, like, a ship, for example, then, like,
yeah.
if I'm the guy in the ship, then I'm gonna, you know, be the one pinning you to the tree. Unless I'm Sakura when you were Sasuke.
Yeah.
Which is what I was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta be the one pinned to the tree.
I love looking at masculine drawing bases on
yeah.
Pinterest. For
yeah.
those references.
I go to
yeah.
Pinterest. I like.
Sometimes.
I would get the Pinterest boards for whatever character I'm doing for inspo.
I also like to sometimes make generic pose references, like
yeah.
boards on Pinterest, because I find those really helpful. Because like I also do photography, so sometimes I like to like help pose
yeah.
people and tell them what to do, and it's nice to kind of like.
Yeah.
Study the poses. So you can kind of go, okay, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you tilt your chin this way? Can you, like, move your shoulders this way? Put your feet
yeah.
here, you know? Pop your pop the hip or whatever.
Yeah, because I have a set of poses in my brain
mm-hmm.
that I know I can do that look good every time. It's
mm-hmm.
just the problem is they don't
yeah.
always work for all the characters. Because a lot of them
yeah.
are more masculine, power posey type for, like, more
yeah.
aloof characters.
Mm-hmm.
That won't necessarily work for fucking Rapunzel or whatever.
Yeah.
And for me,
and vice
versa. I have the easier time posing a character if I know the character really well. So, like, Jinx, for example, like, I can pose Jinx
yeah.
so easily whenever I do photos.
She also has a lot of, like, iconic
yeah. Honestly,
poses
I slightly
from,
also
like,
do some JoJo poses
too.
As her when I cosplay her. Yeah, no,
but they work for her.
Stretch
They're
before
just
I do a shoot as Jinx,
yeah.
which I gotta stretch. But like
That's
I did like
so
Lacey on like a couple weekends ago for a photo shoot, and I was like, how do I pose a Pokemon? I was
yeah.
like,
cool out here asking the real questions. How does one pose a Pokemon?
Look, man,
leave your comments.
A Pokemon contest. I am a trainer only.
Send cool all your Pokemon references.
I mean, I
yeah.
have a shirt today too.
That is true. That is true. Aw, man, I'm the only one not wearing an anime-themed shirt. Mine's NASA.
I got that Yurga Rice shirt.
Yeah.
The shirt I got when their merch was still in Hot Topic.
It hurts my soul.
I will cry about the movie for years to come.
Yeah, Yuri is another one that I give him a lot more female posing because he's, like, a figure skater. You give him the pretty little dainty
yes.
poses.
Mm-hmm. Same with when I cosplay.
It would be fun to
mm-hmm.
we go
That's
actually to an ice
to
rink and do like a Yuri on Ice photo shoot. That would be cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Especially because there's that one that's down on.
Oh, yeah, the
Robson.
Like open
mm-hmm.
one.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, although
yes.
it's very busy.
Yeah.
You can probably rent one out for not too much money.
Oh, probably not.
Yeah. There's, actually, I think there's one in Langley that,
There's one in Chilliwack, too.
There's skate rinks everywhere. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're everywhere.
The benefits of Canada.
Yeah. We've also touched base a little bit on gender bending earlier this episode. Anyone care to explain what gender bending is versus cross-playing and the differences there?
Gender bending is where you take the gender of the given character and you bend it to a different gender. So, let's say Loki.
Like
if you're gonna do femme Bakugo.
There are versions of him. There is a female version of him. There is a male version of him. So Loki, you can't.
Yes.
I guess you could still obviously gender bend him, but he has so many different versions of him that you could just do anyone.
Because when I first started cosplaying, I did Loki, but I did a femme version of it. So instead of giving him pants, I gave him a dress, gave him longer hair, different things to kind of make it look a little more feminine before I got more comfortable cosplaying guys. You can also do the opposite, and if your gender matches the character's gender, but you don't want to do the character in that gender, you can bend it again. You could be a girl cosplaying a girl character and do the guy version instead if you wanted. It's one of those fun little things. It can also be...
No, go.
What's right?
Finish your thought.
I see a lot of male cosplayers do gender bends from traditionally female characters and do the male versions. I've seen a lot of male versions of Harley Quinn, which are really fun. I've seen some different versions of female characters that men do, and they gender bend it, or instead of just cosplaying the character as the gender that it is. And it can also be kind of good for if you feel so dysphoric doing a different gender or, having to exist in that one gender. You can just change the character's gender. It's just a character. It literally doesn't exist. It's not going to get mad that you're fucking with its gender.
Out of your TV.
Yeah. Well, that's what the dude bros are gonna try to tell you, but they can go and sit and rotate.
I did a gender bend just recently, actually. I did Kiba from Naruto because, my reason why I did gender bend for him wasn't because, I was having issues with, my gender myself. It was just I fucking hated the wig, my male wig I had for him. I hated
That's
it.
So fair.
I just put a long ponytail wig on instead, and I was much better.
I have definitely done that. I did that with what's his name? Shinso from BNHA. I always did the female version of Shinso because I hated the way his hair looked on me. It looked so bad. And actually, my TikTok today decided to remind me of what my male Shinso looked like. And I was thank you for that horrific reminder. I had actually forgotten I did that. But thank you for that reminder. I will be deleting this out of the internet.
Some characters you really do need a lace.
So
I've done it a couple times just because I've done some gender bends because I'll have an outfit that works perfectly for the character, and the only wig I have is a long wig or a bob when they have a short manly haircut, and I'm like, he's a girl now.
Exactly.
I don't want to buy another wig. He's a girl now.
Sometimes it's just easier to go that's a girl now. Sorry.
That's my Steed cosplay from Our Flag Means Death. He's just a girl because I have a nice blonde bob wig. I was going to be Ron Stoppable for Halloween last year. Same deal.
I did that in the opposite direction for Gwen Stacy one time because I was going through some intense gender dysphoria, and I was I really want to cosplay Spider-Girl, but if I have to be a girl, I'm gonna cry. So I slapped a binder on, put the suit on as it is, and then just wore a short wig, and I was what are you gonna do now? This is a boy now.
She's from the multiverse.
That's literally, I was this is a variant of this is
A variant of Spider-Gwen.
Yeah, Spider-Gwen. This is like Guy Stacy. I don't know. I don't remember what name I ended up using, but I was like, it's
Guy
Stacy. Guy Stacy.
Steve Stacy.
Steve Stacy. No! Yeah, and then, like, there's also been other, like, guy characters that I've just been like, you're gonna be a lot cuter with girl makeup. So I'm gonna, you're gonna be a girl now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Say you're at con. And I know, you know, you had a similar experience like this, Cole, where you have a really bad bout of gender dysphoria that you weren't experiencing, and maybe you don't have a backup or anything like that. What are some things you can do to help solve that kind of problem?
I have had that, and I just got out of cosplay.
Also, like, what I found helped me on that day myself was, again, like, I put on a comfort cosplay that I had. So if you look at, if you have like a comfort character that, like, you always think you look good and you always feel good in them, no matter what, like, I would suggest going into them. Like, I highly, highly recommend to anybody who goes to cons, especially if it's, like, an out-of-city or out-of-state, like, con, bring multiple backups. Bring, like, your comfort cosplay. Bring a male cosplay. If you have, like, a lot of female cosplays, bring at least one male cosplay that you can change into. Just, like, prepare for anything, essentially. Just, like,
because, like, I recently at AR, I had a bout of, like, kind of dysphoria, kind of dysmorphia in one of the cosplays that I was wearing. And so I made sure to bring Wei Wuxian, because he is a costume that I can always wear. I love cosplaying him. I know I look good as him. I like the costume. And so I made sure to bring that, because I was like, if I end up hating the way that I look, I need a character that I'm gonna like. And I was cosplaying as a guy character. So, like, it wasn't like I was cosplaying a girl and I needed to cosplay a guy. I was cosplaying a guy, but I just hated it. And so I needed to cosplay something else that I knew I would like. And so, yeah, I 100% believe that you should always bring, even if you're day tripping down, you never know what's gonna happen. Bring a backup or two. Even if it's just a wig and casual clothes.
Closet cosplay is a wonderful, like, thing.
That's what I usually end up doing for evenings at cons, because I'm old and tired.
Or, like, the Sunday.
Oh, oh, yeah, Sundays, casual days.
Especially if you have, like, a party con.
Because I had
a party con, you don't want to be in, like, a mansion cosplay canon outfit. You do not want to be in that with all those dangly bits when you're drinking. Like, slap that wig, on, but change into some comfy clothes, because it'll be too much.
Yeah, it was like at Kumo, I was planning and hoping to wear Hanji from Attack on Titan, and the pants that I brought. There's no way I'd be walking inside the hotel room with those pants.
White pants.
They're kind white of pants. Sheer. Not very sheer. It might as well have been made of glass. Frosted glass, I think, would have more coverage. Pants would. So I had to change into a costume that I brought on backup, knowing that that might be a problem with those pants.
Yeah, I almost always bring some type of backup, because you never know if a cosplay is going to rip, if you're going to get a stain on it, if you're going to, you know, get caught in the rain and it's suddenly drenched, if you're going to have some kind of accident and you need to change. It doesn't necessarily have to be, like, dysmorphia-related or dysphoria-related. Sometimes just bringing it back up is good.
The amount of times I've almost ruined a cosplay because I got my period in it.
I have ruined a cosplay.
Also, if you're flying somewhere, put one of your backups in your carry-on bag. Because, like, if your luggage gets lost or something, you at least have one cosplay you can wear for the weekend.
Or if the airline destroys your suitcase.
Thank you so much, Alaska Airlines, for breaking my suitcase. It's great. It's okay, the suitcase people.
The people
I dealt with was, the man I dealt with there was a lovely, lovely man. He was so sweet. He literally works in a closet. It's like a closet.
Yeah, we couldn't find it at first because it was like this little closet behind the staircase. We were like, "Sir, are you good? Where? What? Do they let you out?"
He's the Harry Potter of the airlines. He's under the staircase.
Yeah.
Suitcase out of it, and it's a very nice suitcase. And the hotel's really good because they got rid of my old one. But it was an added stress to traveling that I didn't want to deal with. Especially because as we were landing, my contact.
And unfortunately, if there's going to be a stress for traveling, it's going to happen to Cole.
The worst part was while we were landing, my contact had popped out of my eye. And I didn't have the case with me, and I didn't have a mirror or anything, and they were my only contacts for the weekend. It was great. So I just had my camera on my phone on, and I was just, like, trying to put my contact in as we're, like, fucking landing. It was great.
Well, I remember looking up, and you're, like, looking at your hand in horror, and I'm like, what happened? And you just turn back, and you're like, it just popped out. And I'm like, what? And then, like, Sky next to me and the twins were like, what happened? And you're like, my contact popped out. I don't know what's wrong. And so then the plane's landing, and you're bobbing around trying to put this in, and we're all looking on in horror because you're a few rows down from us, so we can't do anything.
There's a bathroom because we were descending. And I was just
like, yeah, like it was like, no, lock down, you can't get up. And it's like, no!
Yeah, the amount of times I'll look at your story when you're traveling somewhere and something else has gone wrong, and I'm just like, girl.
It's not usually this bad. Just the past couple trips have been bad for traveling.
Yeah.
That's the real reason why you're not going to Kuma with us.
They're like, no more.
It's like, no, we're not talking. It's going to be my very good reason.
At least there'd be other people in the car this time that could drive. I love you, Sergeant.
This is true. This is true.
I'm sorry. The only one who was driving.
It gives
true, you didn't give your food. I had a little meltdown as soon as we entered Portland.
I felt so bad.
Oh. Yeah.
It's the happens when you're the baby.
Yeah, eliminate entropy driving.
Honestly, she'd probably love that too.
Yeah.
She loves driving.
This is fair.
We've talked about everything but the topics we're here to talk about. Anyways. It's been great.
We've talked about the topics.
They've been littered with a lot of tangents.
Yeah, but the tangents have been slightly relevant.
Our travel stories are very relevant to this.
Sometimes. Completely.
Hey, I made sure we got through all of the things on your list.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I guess the photography posing can be helpful in, like, a gender way. If you're, like, you know, experimenting with your...
affirmation that comes with the photos you get back.
It is, yeah, so that can be.
That's not to be discounted.
Also with, like, body dysphoria stuff,
is there,
like,
anything
I find, like, also if you get, like, shapewear and, like, other things like that, it actually, like, helps a lot. Like, I wear shapewear with, like, I'm wearing, like, tighter cosplays. I'll wear, like, the shapewear, and it's nice.
Yeah.
It kind of just, like, flattens everything out a bit, and, like, that helps a lot. So if you're...
Yeah,
well, the last time I wore Beto...
Yeah.
...too, had a bunch. It was a lot of that. I had so much shape around.
When I wear Raiden Shogun, I always wear a corset underneath of it because it just makes the cosplay lay so much better against my body. Like, there's a couple cosplays where sometimes I'll wear a corset underneath because it just helps everything lay correctly on top. Or... like, I have some shorts that are kind of, like, shapewear. They're pretty tight, and so it kind of keeps the everything in place, as
it were. My favorite is when I'm wearing a skirt, because I'll wear, like, my shapewear, which is essentially, like, really tall underwear, essentially. But then, like, I also wear my privacy shorts on them, and so it's just, like, so many layers. built into this, and I'm just like,
yeah.
Yeah, but you can't not have privacy shorts.
Oh, yeah. So if you are cosplaying things that are short and you might flash someone, for all of you people listening, please wear privacy shorts.
It also just deters creeps.
It does, because you never know who's going to try to, like, take a picture of your skirt.
Mine are great because they're skin tone colored, and so you'll think.
So they're going to be real disappointed.
Something, but it's just shorts.
But it's a Barbie doll.
Yeah. They're going to look at those photos later and be like, damn it! Yeah. Well, I did that when I cosplayed one of the wives.
Yeah.
I was wearing, skin-colored dance tights. I was wearing skin-colored, the shorts. And I think I also had something else. Obviously, yeah. I was wearing, like, underwear and things underneath of that. So there was no way anyone was seeing anything. But there was definitely a couple times where I think a couple people were like, ooh, what's going on underneath that tiny little skirt you got going on? And I was like, several layers.
Well,
you weren't seeing shit.
Well, it was like my first foray into open chest binding with the Victorina Kivarov, with the very deep plunge, which I had the shirt also taped down, too. So there was no way anyone could see anything. And the SkyTrain back home was incredible. At the ripe old age of 16, the people just staring full on my chest from the convention center all the way to fucking Surrey Central. Because it was the same night as Pride, and it was the same night as the PC Lions game.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
It's okay.
The people on that train decided they really wanted to see if something was going to happen.
You're like, I got it, guys.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what you want. But hey, that same train ride is where the Does the Curtain Smash the Drape story comes from.
Oh my god, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like, it was like the time I wore, every time I've worn any Sailor Scout, I've always worn, like, skin-colored dance tights and, like, safety shorts and stuff. And there's always somebody, like, because the skirts are very short, and there's always somebody, like, oh, what am I going to see? And I'm like, nothing. Absolutely nothing, dog. You are seeing nothing.
Oh, my favorite.
And I just find it funny.
I wasn't in the revealing costume. I was Sophie from Howl's Moving Castle. And some weird...
Oh, yeah.
The man who speak English was, like, trying to get me to go with him. And I'm just like,
nice.
It was a wild experience. Circuit was there.
Yeah, because I had to get in between you two. Because he was inching closer and closer and closer, and I'm like,
"God,
not today, bitch!"
He first approached us, and then, like, I thought he was, like, trying to ask for directions because we're on the SkyTrain.
Yeah, it sounded
like
he was trying to ask for directions.
Like, he doesn't speak English very well, so, like, obviously he's, like, either, like, a foreigner or, like, a tourist or whatever. And so I was, like, being nice, and I was just, like, it just steamrolled. And
yeah, and I ended up having to cabin on you the entire
Anyone who is from Vancouver, yeah, you know how crazy the SkyTrain is.
Well, also, Aneta and I were trying not to laugh our asses off at the same time.
They were.
You know, trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, you know.
But he was like, come, and I was like, no. Good.
Yeah, thank you.
It doesn't even matter. Like a revealing cosplay, because, like, I was showing no skin.
Yeah, Lucy is you have hands and neck and, like, chin up. That's it.
I'm feeling feisty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even, like, a tight costume or anything.
If
it's
I'm
like.
I'm feeling especially saucy and Sophie, am I flashing my ankles?
Oh my god.
How scandalous.
How scandalous you are.
Myself.
Say less. Yeah.
But I think we've gotten to about that time. So yep. Do you guys have anything, any last remarks you want to say on gender expression in costume at just, all? Or?
If you're feeling any sort of way, give cosplaying a different gender a try, because you might discover things about yourself, or it might answer some questions you might have bouncing around in the back of your brain.
Just experiment if you're, like, having questions about your own gender and what you prefer to go by. Like, just experiment with it. Try a more femme look. Try a more mask look. See what you like. And just experiment with it.
Cosplay is a very safe place to experiment, and it's a societally acceptable way to experiment with your gender, because if anyone asks, you're like, oh no, this is just some guy character I'm cosplaying. Don't worry about it. It's a safer way, like if your parents are a little more strict, if you're in an environment where you can't really experiment in a day-to-day way, because it's a lot more difficult to walk around the street. You know, you might get some unsavory advances or things like that. But at a convention or in the comfort of your own home, where you can, you know, experiment being a girly with a little skirt, or you can experiment being with a guy, being a guy. Oh my god!
I mean, you could also experiment being with a guy. What?
You can, but I don't want to know.
Yeah, what kind of con parties are you going to?
Apparently, wild ones. God damn. I mean, actually, there was one time at Katsu where I got very drunk the first year I went, and my friend was like, all right, I'm getting a breast reduction. Everybody gets to cop a feel. This is your last year.
I mean, hey, if you're getting rid of them, I'd be like,
Yeah, I was like, you know what, fair is fair, and I was like, you know, for a fair exchange, because I was wearing a tiny little skirt, I was like, you can cop a feel of my ass, it's very nice.
What happens at con, guys?
I was inebriated incredibly.
It happens at con sometimes, guys.
Oh, yeah. So that's how we're leaving you with this podcast episode.
Just my crap feel on my ass. And
it be like that sometimes. It do in fact be like that sometimes.
My favorite thing was when you were just all like, right, we were in like a hotel room together, and like I was changing, and you were just like, nice bra. And I was just like, thank you.
Things would happen at a con, in a con hotel.
It never happens at a con hotel, stays at a con hotel.
True. Well, I remember turning around and going, oh, that's a cute bra. Like, there was no other ulterior motive or whatever. I was like, oh, cute. And then I, like, turned around and continued on with my day. And then I stopped and was like, wait a minute.
It was a cute bra, so it's fine.
Exactly.
Anyways. this has been episode 7 of the Dress Up Disasters podcast. Lucky number 7.
Yeah.
Guest episode with Cole here. Cole, do you want to have another shout out for your social media so people know where to find you?
So again, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Cole's_cosplay.
How do you spell Cole's?
C-O-A-L-S. So, like the stone.
There we go. Awesome. Yeah.
Like what's the
fantastic. So, if you liked today's episode, feel free to follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts. Leave us a review so it's easier for the algorithms of these podcast networks to show us off to other people who may like the podcast, as well as share with a friend so they also know about this podcast.
Because we're so fun to hang out with.
Oh, yeah. If you have a suggestion on an episode idea or maybe a guest you want to see on the podcast, give us an email at dressupdisasters@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at Circass Productions. That is C-I-R-C-A-S Productions. And have a fantastic day.
Thank you so much for listening.
We'll smell y'all in 2 weeks.
Bye.